A summary. First part of our confirmation, we were studying the person of Christ, right? Names for Christ, where he was born, where he lived, his miracles, the exorcisms, his preaching. Let's just look up for a minute before we start to fill it in. Over the past 5 weeks, we've been going through what are called the last things, and they are the reality of death. One day we're going to die. Upon death, we enter into what is called judgment. Jesus Christ will judge us on our actions. Everything we've ever done in our life, we're going to be judged on that. That's called the particular judgment. The general judgment will be at the end of the world, where Christ will bring all the people who ever lived in this world together to judge all and separate the good from the bad. There are two possibilities with respect to judgment. Either you're saved or you're damned. It's not complicated. Either you're saved, you go to heaven, or you're damned, you go to hell. You know? We had two classes on the very serious topic of hell. You don't hear that topic talked about too much, and I don't talk about it always, but at least a couple times a year we should talk about it because it's a sad reality. And if, you know, we have the disgrace of dying in mortal sin, then we go to hell. And we should pray that that would not be our lot. So constantly we want to be praying that we live in the state of grace, we die in the state of grace, and the grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace, the grace of all graces. We talked about heaven. And amidst the trials of life, struggles of life, temptations in life, sufferings in life, we have to think often about heaven. Okay, about heaven. One day we trust we're going to go to heaven. The heaviest crosses in the world are really nothing if we can think about heaven that awaits us. We talked about heaven. You cannot imagine what heaven is. St. Paul says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered in the mind of man, the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. So the human mind cannot fathom the beauty, the greatness of heaven. So we should long for heaven. Now there's an intermediate place you've heard about, purgatory. So if you die in the state of grace but still have to be purified of venial sins, then purgatory will be a temporary place. Temporary means we're there for a limited period of time depending upon how much selfishness we had in our soul when we died. But those who are in purgatory will eventually get to heaven. So this lesson these lessons that you have are actually lessons that I wrote. So okay, I'm a writer and I wrote a confirmation book for you guys about 2 years ago because I felt that some of the books were not really that easy to understand. So I tried to write in a very simple language so that, are you able to understand these lessons? Are you? I think that all of you understand them. My writing is very clear. The questions are not complicated. We're not rocket scientists here, okay? At least yet, okay? We're learning our faith, so I try to write a very simple confirmation book that all of us can understand, with depth in it. Right, Paul? Yeah. It's good, but there's depth in it. And it's, I've written something telling you the hard truth. I mean, we don't want to hear about hell, but hell does exist. We probably don't want to hear about purgatory, but purgatory exists. So I'm hoping after this year, and then you guys will go in the second year, at least you'll have a grasp of the basics of the faith. Okay, none of us are going to have a degree in theology like I have, but you'll have the basics of the faith. That's what I hope. The basics of the faith will help you to get to heaven, and that's really what we want. We want to get to heaven, right? That's the purpose of our life. In these lessons, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, the lesson today is present in all the lessons. And the lesson today is something that fascinates me. It's the concept of eternity. Ever since I was a little child, I was fascinated by the whole idea of eternity. So we're going to be talking about that. But I'd like to tell you a catechetical story I read about 30 years ago that I've never forgotten. Get an idea of what an eternity is. Okay, try to imagine that you're walking on the seashore. Okay, maybe Seal Beach, Redondo Beach, wherever. And you're walking along the shore and you see a bird that flies over the shore and he swoops down and he grabs with his little beak a grain of sand. Okay? No big deal. And he flies. He starts to fly. He flies all the way to the moon. Then when he arrives at the moon, he drops the grain of sand. Then he flies all the way back. Now this is not a 747 jumbo jet, but rather it's a bird. So he flies back and he grabs on to another grain of sand from the seashore. He flies all the way back to the moon. And he flies from the moon all the way back to the seashore. He gets a third grain of sand. And he flies all the way back to the moon. He's getting tired, okay? Not an airplane, he's a bird, right? So he gets the third grain of sand, he flies all the way to the moon, and he drops the grain of sand. Okay, now, when that bird would have taken all the grains of sand on planet Earth, depositing those grains of sand on the moon, eternity is just beginning. I didn't just say Seal Beach, I said all the grains of sand on planet Earth. Once all those grains of sand are transferred from this planet to the moon, or you can say Venus or Mercury or Saturn, whatever you want, you can use your own creative ability to maybe change it. Maybe better Saturn or Venus, which is further away, right? Then eternity is just beginning. Wow. It's a good image, isn't it? Obviously, it's going to be, what, trillions and trillions and trillions of years, right? So eternity is just beginning. And where are we going? We're either going to go to heaven or hell. So you see how short our life is in comparison with eternity? Our life is very short. When I was your age, I used to think, somebody who's 50 years old, wow, that person is so ancient. 50 years old. Now I'm almost 13 years older than that. And, wow, I look at someone at 50, I feel that guy's pretty young. Now you're right, 50, wow, that's so old. But even if someone were to live to be like I think I said, my grandmother lived to be 104. It's a long life, isn't it? 104, she lived in three centuries. She lived in 1898 to 2002, so actually three centuries. Seemed to be kind of a long life. When she saw the invention of the airplane with Wilbur Wright and Henry Ford that invented the car, she's from Detroit, and then she'd be listening to Babe Ruth playing against Ty Cobb on the transistor radio because the TV didn't exist yet. She saw the invention of the TV and all these things that were invented, and then, well, she died in 2002, which was relatively a short time ago. But my grandma died. So even if you live to be 100 years old, that seemed to be a long time. In comparison with eternity, it's short. So what we have to do is we have to do all we possibly can to get to heaven. You hear that? We have to do all we possibly can to get to heaven. I'm given the spiritual exercises, so at 6 o'clock I take off for Zorba Linda. I'm going to be giving another six different sessions. Yeah. I'm given the spiritual exercises to many people. I've given it to your mom, I think, one of your sisters, no? And the first class I teach them principle and foundation. And one of the ideas is that we shouldn't care if we really have a long life or a short life. Whether or not we got perfect health or not. Whether or not we got riches or poverty. Whether or not we have honors or maybe even humiliations. What we want to do is we want to get to heaven. And really that's the purpose of confirmation, right? Prepare us to receive the sacrament of confirmation, which is going to give you guys a more outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so you'll be able to resist temptations and follow God and persevere in your faith. Some of you guys are going to go to college. Are you planning to go to college? None of you? So most of you want to flip hamburgers in McDonald's or something like that. Well, nothing wrong with that. They give me usually free coffee there, no? Maybe you guys can do that for me, no? Or maybe work at Pollo Loco and give me a discount when I go. I think some of them will probably head on to college, no? Did you know that most Catholic, when they go to college, that's when they lose their faith? Did you know that? So before you go to college, maybe talk to one of the priests and we'll give you some advice, you know, what to do. So you don't lose your faith when you go to college. You go to college and you end up by getting a college degree, then you lose your faith and you lose your soul. Is it really worth it? I don't think so. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So you gain the whole world, then you die, Jesus said. No, you lost your soul. The whole world. You have the whole world, but you lose your soul. It's not worth it. So that's somewhat of a long introduction to the topic of eternity. So let's dive in. Let's dive into eternity. Okay, the title, Eternity Forever and Ever and Ever. And ever. In their search for meaning in life and discovering God to be the center and purpose of our life, we run into a very important idea. An idea that is really fascinating. That idea is that of eternity. Time we measure by the specific passage of moments that we express in smaller moments or blocks and larger. For example, a small block of time we would call a second. A bigger we would call a minute. A still larger block of time would be an hour. Then a day. Then a week. Then a month. Then a year. Then a decade. You know what that means, a decade? 10 years. Then a century. What's a century? 100 years, yeah. Which, of course, is 100 years. Therefore, in this lesson, let us learn the concept of God, ourselves, and time. The concept of God, ourselves, and time, and eternity. What then is eternity? The response is as simple as you could imagine. Eternity is forever and ever, right in there, and ever and ever. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. Okay, but will eternity finally end? The response is clear and unequivocal. And the response is what? No. Is God eternal? Absolutely. God has what? He has no beginning, and God will have no end. God has no beginning, and God has no end. Billions of years ago, did God still exist even a billion years ago? Once again, absolutely yes. Name two attributes of God with delight. There are many attributes of God, but related to our topic, here are two. God is eternal. God is eternal and God is infinite. What that means is God has no beginning and no end. And God has no limits. What about us? We had a beginning, right? But we don't have an end in our soul, right? Where were you guys 20 years ago? You didn't even exist, right? But then when you were conceived in your mother's womb, you were given an immortal soul. And your soul is going to live forever. So you had no beginning, but you have no end. God has no beginning, has no end. Do you know what the word attribute is? What is an attribute? Well, I'll help you. It's a descriptive quality, okay? For example, you have black hair, you have brown eyes, you have sneakers on, and you're a teenager, and you got a pencil in your hand, right? And you live in California, I think, right? Those are attributes. Can you give some attributes of God? We mentioned two. He's all wise. He's all-knowing. It's called omniscient. He's omnipotent, what that means, or powerful. He is all-merciful, which means what? He's always willing to forgive us. He's all-just. I mean, he's going to pay each of us what we deserve. We mentioned he's infinite. He has no limits. He's eternal. Has no beginning, no end. It's a good idea to meditate upon these attributes. So all attributes, we have good attributes and bad attributes. You might be really good at math, but you might be lazy. Okay, so being good at math is good. Being lazy is bad. So we're a mixture of good attributes and bad ones. Whereas God, all of his attributes are not only good, perfect. And they're way beyond our comprehension. So you think about any positive attribute God has it, but a million times greater than you can think of. That's how great God is. Now you look at Jesus. Think how humble Jesus was. Fulton Sheen gives this analogy. Do you know what the incarnation is? The fact that Jesus is the Son of God, he became man. Fulton Sheen says, what would happen if you woke up tomorrow morning and you looked in the mirror and you were a dog? You looked in the mirror and you saw a pit bull, okay? And then you went outside and there was a pack of pit bulls. They started to bark. And then they became angry, and then they bit you, and then they tore you to pieces. And even though, you know, your body is that of a pit bull, but your soul is that of a human. That's pretty humbling, isn't it? What happened to Jesus is even worse, because Jesus was God, he became man. So the humility of Christ is even more. And another act of humility of Christ is that he suffered and died on the cross for us. What a humiliation. They spat upon him. They punched him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They ignored him. They nailed him to the cross. They stripped him. They scourged him at the pillar. That was really humbling. But another act of humility of Christ is that he's present in the Mass. He's present in the tabernacle. He's present in all the tabernacles of the world. And many churches, people don't even come to visit him. What happened if you were sick in the hospital for 3 days and nobody came to visit you even once? Wow. How'd you feel? I think you feel pretty sad, huh? So our church is a little bit different. We have people coming in and going and visiting, but there are churches throughout the world. Jesus is present in the tabernacle, and nobody comes to visit him the whole day. How sad. That's humbling. No one comes to visit us, we feel kind of insulted almost. But what about God? Jesus not coming to visit Jesus is even more humiliating. So another quality of God is how humble he is. These are all attributes that describe the essence of God's nature. Attribute is a descriptive quality that we give to God. We've got attributes that are good and bad. In God, they're all good, to the highest degree. Got that? So, are you ready? Number 6. What about the world where we live? Did it have a start? Yes, and we can read this in the first book of the Bible. This is the book of Genesis. First two chapters of Genesis recounts God, write it down, God creating the world. God creating the world and all that is in it. Number 7, what is creation then? Creation is an action that only God can do. Write that in there. That only God can do. Creation means to bring something out of nothing. Once again, only God can do this. So in a loose sense of the world, we sometimes say that we can create something in art or literature or music. But that's only in a metaphorical sense. Only God can really create, bringing something out of nothing. God said, let the moon exist and exist it. Let the sun exist and exist it. Let the oceans exist and exist it. Let the fish in the oceans exist, and they came into existence out of nothing, just like that. That's how powerful God is. Number 8, what about us human beings? Did we have a beginning? We sure did. It all started, write this in there, at the moment of our conception. Then we actually started to exist. There are arguments about when the person actually becomes a person. So after 3 months or 4 months or 5 months, no, we believe the moment of conception, that's the moment that we exist as a human person. In the moment of conception, that's the moment when God intervenes and he infuses an immortal soul in you that's going to exist for all eternity. That's why abortion is wrong, right? Abortion is killing an innocent person. What's the difference between the baby inside the womb and we outside? We're just a little bit bigger and more developed. But the same chromosomatic genetic makeup of some authority is present there when the child is in the womb of the mother. Yeah.
Yeah, I read about in the Bible recently how God says He literally knitted our soul to our father
right.
in a mother's womb.
Psalm 138, yes. Beautiful, beautiful psalm, yeah. It's Psalm 138. Some Bibles, 139. Okay, what about our start, number 9? Well, as soon as conception took place, then God infused in us our, write it in there, our immortal soul. Our immortal soul. That will exist for all eternity. Now the soul is the life-giving principle in our body, right? So when we die, what happens? What is the definition of death? It's when the soul leaves the body. Yeah. So once the soul leaves your body, you're dead. So it's the soul is the life-giving principle. It keeps us alive. Okay, what about our body and soul and eternity? Number 10. Good question. Our body will die, but our soul will... What do you think? We'll live forever. Okay. You about to say that? Our soul will live forever. Yeah, our soul is going to live forever. Your body is going to die. But your soul will live forever. Here's a question that makes you feel uncomfortable now. Do you spend more time in cultivating, in nourishing, and protecting your body or your soul? Uh-oh. I think the response is we spend time sleeping, eating, and resting, and recreation. How much time do we spend praying? Oh boy. Kind of embarrassing, right? So it's kind of embarrassing because we spend time sleeping and eating and recreating and watching TV and being on our phone and having fun with our friends, which are our bodily expressions. But then with respect to our soul, well, we go to confirmation once a week, and we go to Mass on Sunday. And the other days of the week, maybe we pray 2 minutes before we go to bed. It's kind of embarrassing, right? Is that we really give much more importance to our body than our soul, but our soul is more important than our body. You might think about that. How can I spend more time in really trying to nourish my soul? You guys know what we're going to be entering into in 13 days? 13 days next, so it'll be 13 days from today would be, do you know what Lent is? Ash Wednesday. Well said. And what do we do in Lent? Any ideas that maybe you do in your family, certain Lenten practices? Very good. Very good. You give me an example?
Fasting.
Good. You're giving up certain foods you like, something else? Sounds like you've really lived Lent in the past, but you guys, the other guys, you have to, we'll talk about that next week, is you have to do something special for Lent. All of you have received your ashes, right? Have you ever gone to receive your ashes? I'm sure you've done that many times, right? And so you enter in, you receive the ashes, and it's a special time where we think especially how much Christ suffered for us and what we can do to show Him that we really love Him. I tell the parents this, you guys might be able to do it a couple of times, is I think, and I think the best practice you could do if you don't have too much homework, or you're not playing sports, is come to Mass. What do you think, Paul? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, maybe you can come to Mass 3 days a week, or maybe 4 days a week, and receive Holy Communion. By far, that would be the best thing you can do for Lent. I know most of your parents. I think if you asked your mom or your dad, can we go to Mass? Do we go to Mass for Lent at the 6:15 Mass? I'm pretty sure I know what your mother would say. What would she say? Would she be happy? How about your mom? Would she be happy? Can your mother be happy? Yeah. How about you? Yeah, I think all of your mom and your dad, his mom's a catechist, they'd all be happy if, would your mom and dad be happy? They'd be doing cartwheels, right, of joy, huh? you might even say that if you were to just do that, you mentioned some good things, sacrifices, but if you were to try to go to Mass every day you can during Lent, that would be enough. I mean, you give up a chocolate chip cookie. Stop fighting with your sister if you got a sister. Say stop fighting with your sister. You're going to say that's pretty easy because I don't have a sister, right? do other things. But receiving Holy Communion in Mass for those 40 days by far, and that's going to give you the power to do other sacrifices, because the Eucharist gives you strength. So I'd first do that, and then the other sacrifices will flow from it. So given that we're only 13 days away from Lent, what do you think about maybe that as a possibility or something else? No? Remember when I was a teenager, I have one younger brother that's 5 years younger than me. He was kind of like the black sheep of the family. And my parents always had to push him a little bit more. And they would always ask us, what are you going to give up for Lent? And my brother's name was Chris. One day he was sitting at the table with a big smile on his face. He said, Mom and Dad, I know what I'm going to give up for Lent. And my mom and dad said, hey, finally, what are you going to give up for Lent? He said, I'd like to give up school for Lent. Is that a good sacrifice? he was joking. Can't give up school for Lent, can you, no? Uh-oh, I'm afraid that they're going to say, we're going to give up confirmation for Lent, no? You can't do that. That's not good. Now, maybe they'll say, hey, let's go to confirmation 2 times a week instead of an hour. Father, give us 2.5 hours. Oh, that sounds really good, huh? It's a good idea, huh? I saw that look in your face. You're kind of going like this, uh-uh. An hour's enough. Okay, so remember, 13 days, Lent. Number 10. What about our body and our soul eternity? Good question. Our body will die, but our soul will live forever. If saved, our soul will go where? To where? Heaven. If damned, it will go where? To hell. And both for eternity, forever and ever and ever. Eternity, can you repeat what this is? With great joy. Eternity means forever and ever and ever and ever. I'm repeating this many times, so at least you're going to know what eternity is, okay? Forever and ever and ever and ever. Never ends. Okay, a biblical verse on time and eternity. St. Peter, who was the first pope, successor of Jesus to rule, sanctify, and teach, said this in one of his letters that we can read in the Bible. He says, for God, one day is like 1,000 years, And 1,000 years is like one day. Wow. Okay, what did this name in Saint Augustine say about time and eternity? This great saint, who was a convert to Jesus in his early 30s, said this: our life, in comparison with eternity, is a mere blink of the eye. A mere blink of the eye. Okay, so our life in comparison with eternity... Ah, yeah, I saw you. You blinked. You did too. Our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye. Yeah, you did. That's how short life is. It's pretty short, isn't it? You're trying not to blink. I can see you, but you're going to blink eventually. Okay. Psalms and eternity. The book of the Psalms, that has 150 in total, and is the great, write it in there, the great prayer book of the Bible, has this to say about eternity. The life of man is like the flower of the field that rises in the morning and withers and fades as the sun goes down. I like that poetic image, huh? Is our life really long? In comparison, our life on earth is short. Write that in there. Our life on earth is short. Very short. Exceedingly short. Even some person who lives into his hundreds is a very short life in comparison with eternity. Remember that eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever. Other images of time and eternity. So I was able to pull out three other images to help us understand what eternity is. Okay, so right in are other images of time and eternity. Yes, our life is like a breath of smoke. We see the smoke in the air and then it disappears into thin air. Another might be the wind blowing. The wind comes and goes so quickly. Still another might be that of a lightning bolt. You ever see a lightning bolt? Not yet. You're eventually going to see a lightning bolt. This might scare us, but it happens so quickly, it brightens the evening sky and then disappears as quickly and suddenly as it comes. Whew. Usually what you do, you hear the thunder. You hear the thunder, and then you look up, you see the sky lighted up with a lightning bolt, and it disappears. Usually, sometimes just 1 second. That's how short our life is in comparison with eternity. Clock is ticking. Okay, Our Lady Fatima, the children in eternity. Okay. July 13th, 1917, Our Lady Fatima showed the three little shepherd children, write this in there, a graphic vision of hell. From then on, the children were really converted. They prayed more, did more penance, and did all they could to work for the conversion of sinners and their salvation for all eternity. Number 18. What about Jacinta? Lucia in eternity. Lucia was the older cousin of Jacinta and would respond to the many questions that Jacinta posed her. What was one of the questions of Jacinta? Okay, so Jacinta and Francisco and Lucia, we talked about this, I think it was last week, yes. They saw this graphic vision of hell. A light appeared and the earth opened up and they looked down, they saw this fire, they saw these souls falling in, the souls were floating around, some were transparent, others were bronze, others were brown, others were black. They're floating around, they're crying out in despair, and they could see these ugly animals that were transpiercing them. And the children said if the Blessed Mother were not there, she would have died, they would have died of fear. And then Jacinta turned to Lucia after that and said, well, you know, it's going to end, isn't it? You know, that fiery pit of hell is going to come to an end. And Lucia would say, uh-uh. Jacinta would say, well, after 50 years, uh-uh. After 100 years, uh-uh. After 200 years, uh-uh. After 500 years, uh-uh. It's never going to end. And Jacinta would sit back there and think about, wow, that's the case. I have to offer a lot of prayers and a lot of sacrifices. So the little girl gave up her grapes that she liked to eat. She liked to do a lot of dancing. She gave that up. She wore a cord around her waist. She wouldn't drink water on hot days. She would kneel down and pray many rosaries. And she'd do this all for the purpose of the conversion of poor sinners. And I was reading yesterday, Paul, she died, she was only 9. I thought that she was like 10 or 11. She was almost 10 years old. She died. She was only 9 years old. And her brother would have been like 10 and a half. They died very young and they're great saints. So if these guys are 13, 14, 15, they could become great saints too, right? Yeah. Amen or oh me? Okay. Oh. Hopefully that's an amen, not an oh me. They can be, right? You can become a great saint if you want. You can too. If you want to be. Dominic Savio died when he was 14 years old in 11 months. You ever heard of Dominic Savio, right? His spiritual director was John Bosco, the great John Bosco. So, sanctity is not, there's not a monopoly on sanctity. You can only become a saint when you're 75. No. Some saints, they die very young. Others die mid-age. Others die when they're very old. No? And now is the time for us to really try to love God with our whole heart, mind, and soul. Right now. Don't say mañana. Maybe we don't have a mañana. Yeah. Okay. Well, after they saw the vision of hell and how the souls suffered unspeakable torments, Jacinta would ask Lucia if... if hell would finally end. If hell would finally end. Lucia would respond, no, no, no. Hell is eternal forever and ever and ever and ever. No end. Eternity. Yep. Okay, 19. Should the idea of eternity help us to get to heaven? Great question. And the answer is yes. We should constantly remind ourselves why we are here, where we are going, and how to get there, as well as the concept of eternity. I'll repeat that again. We should constantly remind ourselves why we are here. What's the purpose of our life? Where we're going. And how to get there. As well as the concept of eternity. You are here in this world for one purpose. To get to heaven. I'm not complaining. We're here for one reason. Got to get to heaven. Got to get to heaven. So, my friends, we are here. I taught you this about 6 years ago when many of you were in First Communion with me in Spanish. Lo que estamos aquí. Para conocer a Dios, amar a Dios, servir a Dios. Ir al cielo. It's one of the first things I would teach you guys when you're 6 years old, and repeating it over and over again. And now we got in English. My friends, we are here for one sole purpose and reason is to know God. That's why we come to confirmation, to get to know God better. To know God. Right? And then to know God with our intellect, and then to love God. Love God. You're here to know God, to love God. Now, if you know God and you love God, what's the next thing? What? Perfect. Perfect. And to serve God. It's a many a principle and foundation, right, Paul? We're here to know God, to love God, to serve God, so that we will be happy with Him forever and ever. Here we go for the fifth time. And ever in heaven. So write that in there. So that we will be happy with Him forever and ever and ever and ever in heaven. Indeed. We think often about the shortness of time in comparison with eternity. We'll quickly change our lives, renounce sin, and try to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. May Our Lady help us. Amen. Amen. So we're going to say Hail Mary that all of us will go to heaven. Recognize that our life is a great gift from God, and the purpose of our life is to get to heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, good. See Paul. Yeah.
And